It's One Story Time, a podcast for kids of all ages who want to become investigators of God's Word, the one story of redemption in Jesus Christ. In each episode, we will learn an amazing word of the week, investigate a challenging question about God and His world, or to discover how to apply a Bible story to our lives. So let's get started. Here's our host, Dr. John Quosney, but you can just call him Doc.
Welcome back to another episode of One Story Time. I can't wait to dive deep into God's Word with you today. Have you ever heard the phrase, good grief? I remember hearing it for the first time on a Charlie Brown cartoon. Charlie Brown's friend, Lucy, would say something like, good grief, Charlie Brown. Why did you do something so dumb? As you have probably heard me say before, I like to learn where words and phrases come from and what they mean. Saying good grief didn't really make sense to me as a kid. How could grief be good? I thought grief was always bad, since it meant you were sad about something or going through something really hard. Well, it turns out that saying good grief doesn't mean you're saying grief is good. It is actually an exclamation of surprise, alarm, or dismay. And it's usually negative in tone. Good grief, how did that happen? Or, good grief, she just dropped the wedding cake on the floor. So why did people start using that phrase as an exclamation? Well, it comes from another phrase, good God. While God is good, saying good God in this way is taking His name in vain, which is against God's law. So people started replacing God with another G word. Some said good golly, but that's still too close to saying good God. So the phrase good grief was born. If you think about it, it's sort of a silly thing to say. But it does remind us that grief is actually good. It is not always bad to be sad. It all depends what you do with that grief and sadness. Which leads us to our Bible lesson and application today. Turn to 1 Samuel 1 if you are following along in your Bible. The book of 1 Samuel begins a new chapter in the life of God's people. For years, God had sent various judges to deliver them from their enemies and lead them back to God. In His mercy, God is about to give them another judge, a prophet, and a priest all in one, who will be a much better leader. But before we get there, this book opens with a serious problem. This is a problem that many people have gone through, and only God can fix. Let's start reading in verse 1 of 1 Samuel 1. There was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah, and Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Do you hear the big problem? Hannah couldn't have children. She wanted to have children, but she was not able to get pregnant. Isn't that sad? Well, listen to more of the story. Now, this man used to go up year by year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So in those days, men sometimes had more than one wife. That's not a good idea for many reasons. But most of all, it's against God's command, as He teaches that marriage is between one man and one woman. But Elkanah had two wives. As a loving husband, Elkanah felt sorry for Hannah, since she really wanted to have children. He gave her a double portion of the sacrifice to make her feel better. But the other wife, Peninnah, worked hard to make Hannah more sad, mocking her for not having children. Was it Hannah's fault she couldn't have a baby? Not at all. Two times we heard that the Lord had closed Hannah's womb. The Lord alone is the giver of life. He made it impossible for Hannah to get pregnant with a baby. We don't know why God chose to keep Hannah from having children, but there is more to the story. Let's pick it up in verse 7. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? Have you ever been so sad that all you could do is cry, and you have no appetite?" Hannah was grieving deeply over not having children. Her heart was very, very sad. When we lose something or someone dear to us, we grieve. Hannah didn't lose a child, but she felt like she had lost the chance to ever have a child. Again, we see Elkanah trying to comfort Hannah, but he's not doing a very good job, is he? He thinks Hannah shouldn't grieve since she has such a good husband like him. But you can't compare having a husband and having children. They are two different things. Hannah could be thankful for a husband while also grieve over not having a baby. Back to our story. After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head." What did Hannah do at the same time she was crying and weeping bitterly? She prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow to the Lord. If he would give her a baby boy, she would give him into the service of the Lord all his life. That's a really big promise, isn't it? But what I want you to focus on first is that the good way to grieve, the best way to deal with your sadness, is to pray to the Lord. Seek God's face. Ask the Lord for help like Hannah did. She asked for a son and promised to dedicate him to the work of God. But too often we turn away from the Lord in our grief. We get angry with God for the bad things happening in our lives. It is the very fact that God is sovereign over all things that we should go to him in prayer. Who else can help us but the Lord? But God did close Hannah's womb. That means he's the only one who can open it. Go to the Lord with all your grief and sadness. Ask him to bring you through it. Let's read more. As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, "How long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you." But Hannah answered, "No, my lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation." Then Eli answered, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him." Have you ever prayed like Hannah in your heart, without any words coming out of your mouth? We pray these sort of silent prayers all the time. But Eli the priest thought she was drunk. Isn't that crazy? But Hannah wasn't drinking. She was sharing her deepest griefs with the Lord. She was pouring out her heart. This is what you should do with your grief and sadness every time. Then listen to these next amazing verses. And Hannah said, "Let your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went away and ate, and her face was no longer sad. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord, and they went back to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. And she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. Isn't that incredible? God answered Hannah's prayer and gave her and Elkanah a son. They named him Samuel because that name means asked of the Lord. But I don't want you to miss something even more amazing. When was Hannah's face no longer sad? When did Hannah stop grieving? Was it after she was given her son Samuel? No, it was way before. It was after she prayed and gave her grief to God. Do you get it? It is easy to stop being sad after God gives you what you asked for in prayer. But what is much harder is to have a joyful heart, even if our sad situation doesn't change or doesn't change for a long time. As a child of God, you can trust God with your grief and sadness. Share all your griefs and sorrows with Him. What you will see is that your grief will turn to joy as you move closer to the God of all comfort. Jesus is the one who bears all our griefs and all our sadness. He knows all our weaknesses and all our sufferings. Don't walk on your own or just keep it all to yourself. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. By the grace of God working in her, Hannah knew that only God could bear her griefs for her. Sure, her husband could try to comfort her, but her only true comfort was in the Lord. So when you think about the remarkable true story of Samuel's birth, remember that he was born out of good grief by the hand of a good God, exactly what you will need in all your times of grief as well.
Thank you for investigating God's Word with us today. One Story Time is brought to you by One Story Ministries, provider of Christ-centered Bible curriculum for the church, home, and school. You can discover more about our resources for children, youth, and adults by visiting onestoryministries.org. Please share this podcast with your friends, family, and church so you can talk about it together. Until next time, keep learning, loving, and living out God's Word.